All right, Janestown.
Janestown.
Indeed. This is an interesting one. I really like this episode because of the absurdity of the premise of it, but what did you think?
I loved it.
Good.
Love this one.
Good. Okay.
Because there are multiple stories going on in this episode. We have Jane, the hero, right? We have...
the unsuspecting, unwilling hero.
Yes, yeah, we'll get to that. We have Kaylee and Simon. Their relationship advances and breaks down and advances into places that we haven't seen before. River and Shepard have like a whole thing going on, which is hilarious. And we have, as always, my favorite thing in the show, more details about Inara. This is all happening. There are like four completely separate storylines. They kind of mingle together by the end, but they're all happening during the show, and there's no rushed ending to it. Like, everything seems really thought out. It's like they somehow found extra time in this episode, right? In a way that they didn't in the previous one, and everything got resolved really well, wrapped up really well, even though honestly I think that there was more going on, right? So yeah, I enjoyed this one an awful, awful lot.
Good, good. Now, I had a feeling this one would be okay, but the conceit of the episode is kind of preposterous, which is that Jane and the crew are going to a planet. I don't, what is it? Some with a C. It doesn't matter what the name of it is. But anyway, they're going to a planet where Jane had a run-in with the, not governor, but like magistrate or something like that, whatever the head.
It feels like
the
person
is.
That runs the town, right? It's what it seems
right.
like.
Yeah.
Well, no matter what the exactly. phrase they use, it's like the person
exactly.
in charge.
Right. And so he's all freaking out that they're going to all like hate him and yell at him and like kick him off the planet or town or whatever. And so he's like dressed sort of kind of incognito. And, you know, almost 10 minutes into the episode, they're walking around, they're posing as buyers, they're going to buy mud, because that's what the product is for this
which
town.
Is hilarious.
This is mud,
that's
which
just
is
hilarious.
Also kind of ridiculous. Yeah. So they go walking around a corner, and they come upon a statue made of mud, and the statue has a particular likeness, and the particular likeness is of Jane, and you look at the bottom between the statue's feet, and sure enough, there's a little plaque that says Jane Cobb on it. And so they all look at each other, and they're like, what is happening right now? And Jane is just as confused as everyone else. And over the course of the episode, we come to figure out why it is the town loves Jane so much. And it's a pretty funny story, which I guess, is there any reason not to go into it right now? I guess we can kind of cover it right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, Jane was working with somebody else to steal a bunch of money from the magistrate
Stitch.
Or whatever the guy's name is. Yeah, and Stitch is the other criminal's mm-hmm. name. So he was trying to steal, or they were trying to steal all this magistrate's money, and I guess whatever the coinage or bills or whatever it was weighed a lot, and they got like fired upon, their vessel got fired upon as they were escaping. So Jane like jettisons all the extra cargo in the vessel, then he jettisons Stitch.
I think
and
it's the other way around, actually, because that's
oh,
what
that
makes
right?
him such a bad person. Is that
okay,
he kicks his buddy out first before the money?
Well, no, right, right. What I meant to say is like he got rid of, I don't know, like fire extinguishers and couches. I'm making up the details here, but my point is that he jettisoned they jettison all the stuff that's kind of expendable. Then to your point, Stitch gets the boot from Jane, which makes him a terrible person. And then eventually, I think by accident, he actually let go of all the money.
Now he gets rid of it because otherwise he's going to get caught. So he just lets it go. But like it wasn't,
yeah.
But the people of the town think that he was like Robin Hood, like robbing from
mm-hmm.
the rich and giving to the poor, like showering this
right.
money on them. But he was just trying to save his butt.
Exactly, and so they revere him as this like folk hero, and come to find out that they're like extraordinarily enthusiastic that he's back, and that we kind of find this out not only by this statue, but by this troubadour in a bar
yep.
Who ends up singing a song about the man they call Jane. And mm-hmm. it's just the way that this like progressive disclosure of the conceit of the episode, I just thought was so well done. And there were several different times where it could have taken a hard right or left or whatever into like cheesy town. And they were able to just, you know, ride that line. And I just thought it was super well done.
Yeah, it's really good. Like, and to kind of to follow this story through to the conclusion, like, there are a bunch of things that happen, right? Like, the people find out that he's there, and, like, they want to they have like a big party, and you know, he has his pick of the women, I expect, is the way that that's meant to be shown. Like everyone goes wild, like people are just so excited to have him back, and they end up arranging like this Jane's Day. Is that what they call it? Jane Day?
I think that's
like,
right.
Like a big just day to celebrate him. And then like Jane at this time was always also kind of, after being like terrified and then confused and bashful, he then starts letting it all go to his head a little bit. And, you know, he's thinking, yeah, I am a hero. Like, I am a hero. And then he kind of, he kind of gets to a point then, like, as it kind of things progress and everybody starts making fun of him more and more, like, you know, all the crew from the Serenity, that he gives this, like, interestingly rousing speech, right? Like, they wanted to give a speech, and he actually does a decent job of it, where he's kind of saying stuff along the lines of, like, no one will do this for you. Like, no one's going to do for you what you thought I did for you, so stop believing it. Like, you need to just get on with it and make your lives better. And it was, like, it was actually pretty good. Like, it was well done. And they even comment, I can't remember who it is, but, like, someone, one of the Serenity crew was like, wow, that was actually pretty good. and then this Stitch guy appears because the magistrate, or whatever the name of the person is.
Yeah.
Finds out that Jane's back, and lets this guy out of prison who was his accomplice, and he confronts Jane in the kind of the town square or whatever when he's giving the big speech. And then the guy Stitch tries to shoot Jane, and then the kid jumps in the way, right? There's like a young guy who really looks up to Jane, or did, but then like jumps in the way and like saves him. And this is like, I'm hoping to see continued advancement of this, because the end of the episode is really interesting, because Jane is like really upset about the fact that this boy sacrificed himself, and like feels like that it wasn't necessary, it wasn't warranted, he shouldn't have done it, especially when he found out that Jane, you know, he's found out by this point that Jane is a liar and a thief, and that he doesn't care about these people, but yet this kid still saved himself. And like him and Mao are talking, and he's like, I just don't understand why. And yeah, so I'm, you know, because Jane's character is pretty one-dimensional, at least has been to this point. Like, there is a surprise in Jane, because not because he does something out of character particularly, but like you don't necessarily know his motivations, like in a given moment.
Sure.
But you know that you can tell like his overall motivations are to either A, make more money, or B, become the captain of the ship. But like just moment to moment, you're not sure what he's going to do, right? And they play that for effect. Like when we thought last time that he was going to shoot Mao, but he just wanted to give Mao his gun. But like it's still the same idea. Like whatever it was, this was just Jane just trying to get everything he wants in life.
Yep.
So, yeah, you know, maybe this is a turning point for that character. I'm not sure, but it worked well in that episode.
We also, we're getting a hint to your point that there's some depth to Jane that we haven't seen before. And without spoiling anything, this is going to be brought up at least one more time in a very, very fascinating way.
Good. I'm pleased about that.
Still, you're still dead on that. By and large, he's a pretty one-dimensional character, but every once in a while we'll see this hint of humanity behind him, humanity that may not actually exist in Adam Baldwin, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, we see this humanity behind him that is welcome, and I really enjoy. Meanwhile, while this is going on, Shepherd Book is taking care of River back at the Serenity.
Yeah, I really like that she's like ripping up his Bible and stuff, and she's like,
she's fixing it. She's fixing it. The Bible.
Yeah, because she says it's full of contradictions.
Yeah, and Shepherd Book, of course, is not pleased by this, but you know, he has the obvious line, but it's such a good line nevertheless, and I say that as a very not religious person, but he said, you know, you don't fix faith. Faith fixes you. Mm-hmm. And listening to the conversation, you knew exactly where that line was going to appear, but it was still well delivered and well done and well written, and I liked that.
Yeah, I was interested in this because of the things that she mentions and River mentions. One of them is talking about Noah's Ark, which was interesting to me because, again, in trying to paint the lore of this universe, there are elements of Christianity in this, whatever the religion is that Shepherd Book is a part of, which I don't feel like I have a good handle on what or if it's anything that I'm aware of, but there is Noah's Ark is in there, so I thought that was interesting. This arc kind of ends up resolving itself in comic relief, which is very funny. In that there is this moment where Shepard is like washing his hair or something.
Yeah, I think he's preparing himself for bed or something like that. And he's taken off like his ponytail.
Crazy hair thing.
Yeah. It turns out he has a lot more hair than you would think, just looking at the guy. And River kind of rounds the corner because she's looking for him. And she looks up at him and just kind of screams and runs for it. And then he goes chasing after her. And Zoe comes rounding the same corner and looks up and kind of does a, oh. And so even she was kind of like, whoa, I didn't expect that. It obviously you have to see it, but it's very well done.
So what else is going on in this episode? Inara, she has business on the planet that they're all on. She has a client. A man. All we know, like in the beginning of the episode, is a man has hired her to bed his son because he is 26 years old, the son, and a virgin, and the dad is very concerned about this. We see one thing where there is a companion greeting ceremony, which consists of tea, which I thought was funny. The kid, his name is Russ. Inara has a good moment with him where she talks about how the companions choose their clients, that she wouldn't just work with anyone, so that he is a man of some desire. We then find out, the reason that all this is happening and that we're seeing so much of this is that the guy, Russ, his dad, is the magistrate of the town. So the guy that is after Jane. So that's how it all kind of wraps up. And then in a way that, there is a quick fix at the end, but it makes a lot of sense, right? So the quick fix right at the end is they seem to be landlocked. So, the magistrate put like a lock on their ship so they couldn't take off. But the son, Russ, turned it off. He fixed it. And this is like following up on, he says, oh, you wanted to make a man out of me, which is something that dad says. But it's good because like he did it because Inara kind of taught him some lessons or some wisdom. And because they have a relationship now, it all kind of ties together in a way. Like it wasn't just like shoot that one thing, right? Like it fit for me in a way that the previous resolutions didn't. So it was like a quick resolution, but made sense. Right.
Like, yeah, it's funny to me, though, because I actually really disliked this resolution. And the reason I disliked it was because if they really are a ship built for smuggling, like, don't you think they would have figured out a way to disable this landlock? Obviously, I'm perhaps overthinking it, but it just seems out of character that they wouldn't have thought of this already. I don't know. It was slightly ham-fisted rather than entirely ham-fisted, which I think kind of bummed me out. And the other thing that I noticed in this episode that's really become a trend is that I feel like all the main actors and even the more important, like second tier actors, I'm trying to think of like Niska. We saw Niska already, right? A few episodes ago, because that was the one where they kicked the guy into the jet engine. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So the kind of boss man, Niska, I think that actor does a pretty good job. The magistrate was fine, but like the what was it, Stitch or whatever, is the one-eyed guy, I did not think that he did a good job. There were one or two others that I was thinking of last night as I was watching this, and of course now I'm drawing a blank, where the like ancillary players, I just don't think they're very good actors, where I think the main crew are pretty darn good all told, and that just kind of takes me out of it a little bit in a way that it never used to. I don't know if you've noticed that or feel similarly.
I feel like that there is a dearth of talent. Like, not dearth. I feel like that there is a real mixture of talent.
Yeah.
Right? And that sometimes they're good and sometimes they're not good. But this is, I find this to be similar of most TV shows like this. Sometimes you're going to get people that are good, but sometimes you're going to get people that are really just like bit players. That's their thing, and sometimes they're going to be good, sometimes they're not going to be good. I guess the one thing that we haven't touched on is the like the Kaylee and Simon, like Dr. Tam thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she convinces him to go on the mission with them, and there's a lot of flirting, and then they get drunk together and kind of seem to touch on their feelings a little bit. But he yep. makes a fool of himself the next day. I would never, Captain.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're thinking of.
Not with Kaylee, is what he says. Oh, like, as in, poor like, Kaylee. Sleeping together.
Every episode, she just gets freaking burned.
Well,
so hard.
It's resolved, and like what he was trying to say at this moment is just like because he's trying to be honorable in a way, right? Like, I would never not with her because, you know, she is a good person, a nice person. I think that's kind of what he's trying to go for. He's trying to be gentlemanly, right? Or, you know, but he's not doing a very good job.
No.
He's not choosing his words well enough, but his intentions are good, right? Like, he sums it up at the right at the end, right? When they're together, he's saying he tries to be respectful to show her that he likes her. And then it's in a great way to end the scene. Kaylee's just like, well, what about when we made love last night? And he's like, what? And she's just like, well, that's not loving. It was just really well done. I like it. Like, so I like that there's an advancement to their relationship, which is not at its core breaking down what their relationship is. They're not like jumping to be in love with each other now. There's like still like a fun in it. And I assume that now that they have they've both laid their cards out on the table, that this relationship will progress more romantically than it currently has been. Like, at this point, there's no hide in it. They've both told each other that they're interested in each other. So I'm expecting there to be more movement in that.
Yep. Yep. And the other moment I thought was similarly funny or similarly well executed was when what was the son's name? Russ. Russ. When he's explaining to Inara about how there was a hero that came by and he's kind of like weird and he's kind of a jerk, but he does good things and he, you know, gave all this money away. And Inara is starting to like trying to make excuses for Mal and say, you know, oh, well, Mal this and or something along those lines. And then eventually it comes to light that Russ was talking about Jane and her face and her expression. It's just like, Jane? I don't know. I just thought it was very well done. It was... A lot of jokes, and like I said earlier, like so much of this episode I think could have taken a turn for the super cheesy and poorly done, but they were able to just ride it and make it really well executed in a way that maybe they hadn't before, and I thought it was great. I love this episode.